All right, open your Bible with me this morning, the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. We've been looking at the Beatitudes the last few weeks, and we come to number 6. And number 6 is one that is kind of the, I hate to say it this way because I don't want you to think one's more important than the other, because I've been stressing all along that they're a package deal. But this is considered to be one of the greatest statements in Scripture. It has numerous books and sermons and lessons that have been built around this text, and I don't think we've even began to quite get into the depths of this statement when Christ says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That is an absolutely magnificent statement. And again, I've got a few minutes here this morning to tackle something that men have been trying to deal with for hundreds of years and volumes of books. I would say that pound for pound, there's probably been more written and said about this verse than probably any other in Scripture. There may be bigger volumes on the book of Matthew or something like that, but I would say this verse comes very close to the only thing that may get more attention is prophecy, because that is an absolutely amazing statement. It's important to put it kind of in its place in line with the remainder of order of the Beatitudes. The more I study these, and the more I prepare these messages, the more I'm convinced. I was convinced to begin with, but I'm even more convinced that Christ gave us the Beatitudes in a certain order for a reason, that He gave them the way He did for a reason. It all begins with being poor in spirit. You are nothing until you realize your sinful condition, and then to mourn over that, to actually grieve over that condition, to make a change, to become meek and merciful, and to seek after righteousness. And then Christ says here that to be pure in heart. Now, that statement is one that I believe really kind of is, again, we're kind of approaching the height of understanding what the secret of happiness is. Everything, for the most part, about these Beatitudes really kind of goes against our normal human thought. It goes against everything that we believe in, that we practice in America, in the world for that matter. It's just it goes against just even common sense to say happy are those that mourn. That just, you know, that's a head scratcher right there. How can I be happy if I mourn? But again, he's talking about we won't know true happiness until we can come to the place where we grieve over our sin. And here he says, happy, blessed is the man who is pure in heart. Now, again, we live in a society, let's be honest, where many people, you hear statements like this: well, I want to go do what I want to. I want to sow all my wild oats. I want to do this. I want to do that. And then somewhere down the road, I'll get right with God. Because they think that man tends to think, well, if I'm going to be happy, I've got to be out living crazy. I've got to be out doing whatever I choose, whatever I like, and when I'm bored with all that, then I'll get right with God. What Christ says is just the opposite of what most people practice in our world today. He says, no, happiness doesn't come from sowing your wild oats. Happiness doesn't come from living a wild and careless life. He says just the opposite. Happiness comes from bringing our life under the rule of God, of following the commandments, following the leadership of God in our lives. So this morning, I think we're really kind of putting the rubber to the road here of where happiness comes from. When Christ says, happy, blessed is the one who is pure in the heart. This is a verse, to be very honest with you, we could spend probably months on, because each one of these words is an important part of what Christ is saying. Every little piece of it in combination, the words individually, and then when you bring them together, this is just a magnificent verse with all kinds of lessons and implications, and far above my training and my ability to get it all out. So I'm praying this morning that God will take my stumbling and fumbling and make a message out of it, because it begins really by understanding the emphasis that that Christ puts in this verse when he says that blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. Heart. The emphasis here is on the heart. Now, most of us, as human beings, when we hear something about the heart, we immediately we think the thump, you know, that thing that, you know, we hope is still ticking. We hope it's still going, circulating blood, and that's a pretty good way of thinking about it, because we understand, we know that our heart is pretty much it's fairly important. I heard somebody the other day talking about something about, you ever heard anybody talking about, didn't do any injury to the vital organs? You got any organs that are not vital? You know, I thought about that. You know, pretty much all my organs are vital. I'd like to keep them all. You know, I don't know that there's such a thing as a non-vital organ. But most of us would agree that the heart is probably the vitalest of them all. It's, you know, it's pretty high up there. It's, you know, it's gotta keep pumping. And really, that's what Christ is the image, the understanding that he's talking about. When he was talking about heart, you know, the Bible is filled with references to our heart. Talking about our heart, making a new heart, giving us a new heart, cleansing our heart. And the Bible is just filled with references to our heart. And just as we think about our blood pumping center of our chest heart as being important and kind of the center of what's going on, that's exactly what Christ is saying here when he says, blessed are the pure in heart. When he talks about heart, when the Bible is talking about heart, it's talking about the center of our being. The thing that drives us, our personality, our will. It's really kind of, you know, it's kind of hard to explain exactly all the meaning of what he's talking about, but that just very center of his will. Maybe the best way I can think of to really get you to see and understand what he means when he's emphasizing the heart here is to go at it from the other way and to approach what it's not. Notice he doesn't say, blessed is the pure in head. Yeah, blessed, you know, blessed is the pure in thought. Now, I'm not asking you to raise your hand or confess. This is not, you know, this is not the confessional booth. But let's just think for a moment. And not lately, not recently, but go way back in time, okay? Go way back in time. Was there ever a time in your life where you did right, but you did right not because so much you wanted to, but because you knew if you didn't do right and you got caught, your mom would put a pop knot on your head? You with me? You ever been there? You know, it wasn't that you did right because you really wanted to. You did right because you were afraid you'd get caught. You did right because you were afraid the police might see, or somebody would find out, or your spouse would find out, or the folks at church would find out. That's what it means to be pure in the head. You know, I'm thinking, you know, but down deep, yeah, You ever wanted just to reach across the counter and smack somebody? And down deep, you just want just to pop them one. But in your head, you thought, if I do that, I might go to jail. You know, I might end up in trouble. And I'm talking to my people this morning. I can see the looks on your face. You know, you've been there. You've had the same cashier I did. You wanted just to reach across and gently massage their throat with both hands. That was what was running through your mind. But you know, it wasn't that that in your heart you wanted to do right. Just you didn't want to get caught. You know, it may be back when you were a teenager. You know, there were a lot of things that I would have probably done had I not had to go home. There were a lot of things there were a lot of times my friends were doing things that I didn't do because, you know, I knew that if I tore up my car, I had to pay for it. I didn't want to. I wanted to. But my head said, don't do it. You know, it wasn't my heart. It was my head. You with me? You see the difference? Christ says, happy is the man that is pure in heart. Let me ask you a question. Why do you obey Scripture? Why do you follow the Ten Commandments? Why are you in church? Do you understand that God is very concerned about our motives, not just what happens, but our motives? Why we do what we do? See, there are a lot of people this morning. Matter of fact, most people I know are not murderers. Most people I know are pretty good people. But let's be honest. How many of them are fairly good people because that's just the way they were raised? They just don't know any different. Because they're afraid they'll get caught. Let me give you an example. You see it happen a lot of times. We just saw it happen in Charlotte when the crowds took to the street. My guess is that a good many of the people who took to the streets, and some of them were just protesters. Some of them, I don't want to throw everybody in the protest in a bad light. But some of those who were doing damage and looting and that kind of thing in that protest, I will guarantee you that if we knew who all of them were, many of them, most days, were pretty decent people. In fact, the sign I had in my office that time says, never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups. We have a tendency to lower ourselves down to the lowest instead of raising ourselves up to the highest. And my guess is that most of those people, and that's what happens to us sometimes, we get in groups, we get in bad situations, and our standards will lower, our life changes. What Christ is saying to us in this beatitude, what he's trying to get us to understand, is happiness comes. Now, let's go back to my illustration of being a younger person who wanted to do something, but you were afraid mom and daddy would find out. You'd afraid some, and you remember what? That was miserable, wasn't it? Because your friends were going, your friends were doing it, and you wanted to go, and you wanted to be part, but you're scared to. That's miserable, isn't it? I wanted to go, but I was afraid mom would find out. I was afraid daddy would find out. That's miserable. But notice what Christ says. Christ says, happy is the person who's pure in heart. What's he saying? He's saying true happiness comes when our core being, when who we are, we want to live right, we want to live for God, not because that's what man wants, not because that's what mama wants, not because that's what society accepts, but we want to live that way because we want to live for God. We pray what the Bible says. Create in me a clean heart. We want to live for Him. That's where happiness comes from. It is when we sell out and say, you know what? I want, from my innermost being, I'm not just going to say, thou shalt not. I'm not going to lie just because my mama doesn't want me to lie, because the church doesn't want me to lie, because society, but because God doesn't want, because God says, thou shalt not lie. And I want to honor Him. And God, Christ is saying to us, that's the emphasis. Not on a head righteousness, not on a crowd righteousness, but a right, being right with God when everybody else is wrong. When everybody else, listen, and everybody in here is old enough, you know, everybody in here is old enough to see that just in the last few years, the morals of our nation, of our world have just, you know, they haven't went downhill, they fell off the cliff. You know, what was one time just horribly unaccepted and wrong, now is on the talk shows, played out. And if you disagree with it, you're the one that's wrong. That's where we've come to in America. We've come to what once was right is now wrong. What was wrong is not just right, but it's glorified and accepted. But what Christ is telling us is happiness is not going along with the crowd, no matter which way the crowd goes. It's not going along with whatever's accepted. It's serving God because our innermost being, because the Holy Spirit is at work in us, dwelling in us, changing us, convicting us, convincing us, and making us into new creatures. That's where happiness comes from. That's what He's trying to get us to understand. Is that we realize we've been poor in spirit. We realize we're sinners. We've grieved over that sin. And now we don't want to go there anymore. We don't want to be that way anymore. I don't want to be that man anymore. I don't want to be like that. I want to be not because you care, not because that's what the world expects of me, not because that's what the church expects of me, but because I want to please God. Because that's what Jesus is saying to us. He's saying that happiness comes when our motives change. That we want to serve God. That's the emphasis on allowing Him, again, as Scripture says, create in me a clean heart. Make me a new creature. That we have a different, not just, we don't just have a different, but we have different motives. The emphasis, He says, is on the heart. And then we begin to understand the explanation. When He says, happy are the pure in heart. Pure. You know what pure is? I like, you see things in the store every now and then. I've seen things that say 99.9% pure. You ever seen that? 99.9% pure. You know what that is? That's 0.1% impure. That's what that is. That's impure. If the doctor came in and got ready and said, "Now I'm gonna put this medicine in your arm," and it's 99.9% pure. What do you think? Yeah, need a new doctor, huh? I never thought about it. When we built our house, we planted grass, I guess, like everybody else. Not my specialty. I know more ways to kill grass than to grow grass. But I'd never thought about it. And I saw later, after the fact, I saw, and I don't know how many of y'all ever done this or have noticed this, but most bags of grass seed will say something like that. It'll say like 99%, you know, bluegrass or whatever. Well, you know what that means? That's 1% weed. So if you get a 100-pound bag of seeds, you got 1 pound of dandelions. And I don't know about you, but my experience has been that 1 pound of dandelions will outdo 10,000 pounds of grass seed. That's just what I've noticed. You know, one dandelion. And several years ago, I went out and bought some stuff, sprayed, got rid of all the clover in my yard. But my neighbor, bless her heart, didn't do the same thing. Well, before long, I had my clover back. Yeah. Christ says, blessed, happy are the pure in heart. Happy. The word blessed, again, happy. I want to point out something to you that I'm not trying to undermine the authority or take away from Scripture at all. I just want to point out something that to me seems to cause a little bit of a misunderstanding. All these Beatitudes in the King James Version anyway begin with the word blessed. And I think most of us, when I say something about being blessed, most of us think, well, that means got a job, got food, got roof, got clothes. That's what it means to be blessed to most of us. I think it's important to remember that this word doesn't mean that. This word means happy. Happy whether you got job, roof, food, clothes, or not. That's what it means. That's what it means to live in Christ. That's what Christ is after with these statements. Christ is saying, I want you to learn to be happy no matter the circumstances. You know, I have had the opportunity, and you probably have too, to see people in the rest home, folks in the hospital, who are as happy as if they had good sense. Now, they're in the hospital. I've seen people in the hospital who the doctor has come in and said, listen, there's nothing else we can do. You've got days, weeks, months to live. And that person still be happy. You ever seen that? I'll take you with me anytime you want to go. We'll go around and see the shut-ins of this church. And I can tell you that almost every one of those, you go in, and I can't tell you how many times I've been to see these folks, and you go in thinking, well, I'm going in to hopefully maybe cheer them up, make their day a little bit better, and you leave feeling better because you've been with them. You know, because they're happy. You know, go over and spend a little time with Dot Hartzell. You know, go over and spend a little time over there with her. If you don't leave happy, you've been dropped on your head, I guess. And that, you know, she just tickled pink. She's just happy as she can be. You know, listen, there's a difference in blessed and thinking I've got to have stuff and being happy. I've noticed, like you probably have, a lot of older folks who came through world wars and depressions happy. Kind of felt guilty after I thought about it this morning. Caleb and I went through the drive-thru to get some breakfast. And a little girl's about to bounce out the window. And actually, I didn't say it. Caleb said it. Now I'm off the hook. I just thought of that. Caleb said it. Okay. Now that I think about it, Caleb said, she must not know it's 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. Yeah. I'm thinking going down the road, I'm getting ready to go preach on being happy. This girl's exemplifying it, and I think she's crazy. You know, let's be honest. And it's an honest form of making a living. I'm not in any way, but let's just be honest. Most of us don't want to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and go work in a fast food restaurant and hand food out a window to cranky people like me and Caleb. You know, that's just not our ideal. That's probably not, you know, again, it's an honest way of living. Thank God, you know, thank God for them. That means I didn't have to get up and fix my own breakfast. I'm thankful for them. But it's just not what most, but this young lady was just as happy, just smiling. You could tell it through the, you know, even through the static on the speaker, you could tell she was happy. There's a difference in being blessed in the way we typically think of being blessed and being happy. See, here's the difference. Jesus says, happy is the pure in heart. You know why? Because they can lay their head down at night and go to sleep and know that everything's right. May not lay their head down at sleep in the finest house in town. May lay their head down at sleep and not know if tomorrow they're going to have a job. They may lay their head down to sleep at night and not know tomorrow if they're going to have a roof over their head. But they know they've got Jesus in their heart. Jesus is happy as the one who is pure, who is cleansed, who is being cleansed in their heart. Why? Here's where it all makes sense. Because the end, he says, they shall see God. Now, if you go and you start studying this passage, you'll find that there's a probably of all the things that have been written, 75% have been written examining that last statement, for they shall see God. What exactly does that mean? Well, and I'm going to give you my opinion of what it means based on experience as much as anything. Just what it says. That's real complicated, isn't it? That's some deep theology right there. It took me a long time to study that up. It means just what it says. When you're pure in heart, you'll see God. You'll begin to see God every day. You'll begin to see God at work. You'll begin to see God in your family. You'll begin to see God in the sun coming up and the sun setting. You'll begin to see God when you hear a baby cry. You'll begin to see God when you go to the grocery store, when you open up the pantry and there's just a little bit of food there. You'll begin to see God because why? Because you're pure in heart. You see God at work in your life. You see God changing you and transforming you, making all things new, creating that clean heart in you. And you begin to see God, and it makes it a joy to get up every day and go about life because I'm going to see God today. We begin to look for Him. I've said this with you. I love what David Maines taught his congregation. He told them, I want you to go on a God hunt. Go on a God hunt. So begin to look for God. Look where you see God. And begin to look at, see God in the flowers that are blooming around you. See God in the rain that falls. You begin to see God in other people. Folks, listen, God is at work all around us. Listen, I know that the media and everybody is portraying gloom, doom, disaster. And I'm not telling you I'm real thrilled with everything I see either. I'm telling you that if you look around, my God is still on the throne. He's still changing people. He's still working. He's still moving. He's still touching people's hearts and lives. He's still saving people. He's still putting families back together. He's still bringing children home. He's still at work. I don't know what's going to happen in November. I don't know what's going to happen following November. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know that we're going to make it till November. But I know this. Whenever all that's said and done, He'll still be on the throne. He's not going to be put out of office come November. I don't know who's going to get elected and who they're going to put on the Supreme Court. But I know who the Supreme Judge is. And when we allow God to work in us, we begin to see God. We begin to see Him at work. We look at things differently because we're pure in heart. And that brings joy. See, there are people today who are reading the newspaper and they're reading about, listen, I don't know if you've paid, it's not getting much press, but they're reading about what's going on in Russia. They're reading about the Middle East. They're seeing it on the news. And they're getting scared. They're getting upset. Again, I don't like it. But I look at it, and as Tommy said a while ago, as Archie said, the pieces are coming together. The pieces are coming together. And that can bring us joy and happiness to know that my God is still on the throne. He's still in charge. Nothing that has happened has made God go, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming. Nothing has caught Him off guard when you see God. And then ultimately, I believe it points and it leads us to the fact that if you're ever going to see God, you're going to have to be pure in heart. If you're ever going to see God, you're going to have to be pure in heart. You're going to have to mourn over your sin. You're going to have to recognize you're a sinner. You're going to have to grieve over that sin. You're going to have to become meek and humble enough to admit you're a sinner and ask Christ into your life and allow Him to create in you a clean heart. See, we live in a time when Every time I hear somebody talk, well, they're in heaven now. They're in heaven. Every funeral I've ever been around, they're in heaven. Folks, Christ says, if you want to see God, you've got to be pure in heart. You've got to know Christ. And so there's two groups of people here this morning. There are people here who know Christ as their Lord and Savior. That you're here this morning and there's no question, no doubt in your mind that you've been saved by the grace of God. You know it, no doubt, no question, no concern. You know that today, if Christ was to return or if you were to die, you know. But can I ask you this? Are you living a life that would be described as being pure in heart? Are you doing... Everybody in this room, I know you. We do what's right. What's our motive? Do we do it because it's just if we're afraid we'll get caught? Or because the very core of our being says, I want to honor God. I want to live for God. I want to serve God. We need to kneel on this altar and say, Lord, continue to create in me a clean heart. Not a lot of clean hearts in our society. God, create in me a clean heart. I want others to see that in me. And then there are those here this morning who you don't know Christ. If you stood before Him today, if you were to stand before Him today, you stand before Him lost because you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You're a good person. You do what's right. You come to church. You're here this morning. You're a good husband. You're a good wife. You're a good father, good mother. You work every day. You provide for your family. You're a good person. But Christ doesn't say to be pure in head. He says be pure in heart. You could throw a blanket over this crowd this morning. There's not that much difference in anybody in here in our actions and how we look. It's all about the heart. Do you know Christ today? If you don't, will you come? As our musicians come this morning, I want to ask you to bow your heads for one moment. Those in that first group, those that would say, I know Christ, is your heart really pure? What's your motive? Is the very center of your being to live for Christ, to live for God? You're here today and you don't know Him as your personal Savior. You need to come. If you want to see God, you've got to be pure in heart. You've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not enough to be at the church. Not enough to give. Not enough to teach. Not enough to sing. Not enough to play an instrument. But do you have a personal relationship with Him as we stand together?